Hello everyone, this is Benjamin Sanchez. Welcome back to another edition of Legal Grounds. We're here today with my co-host Alexis Gutierrez, who's our marketing director. And on today's episode, we're going to discuss squatter's rights, otherwise known as adverse possession in Texas.
Perfect.
How are you doing, Alexis?
Good, I'm doing great. I'm excited to be back, to be recording again, and I'm very, very excited to actually learn about what a squatter is and kind of dive into that.
Well, that's good. People know that term is squatters, but the legal definition or the legal term is adverse possession, and it does have certain requirements, some that people may not be aware of, that is unique to Texas. So
right.
We'll get into that. In the meantime, what kind of news do we have for these people about our firm? What's been going on lately? What have we been doing?
Right, yeah, so that's actually, yeah, we can start off with that. So recently we have just finalized, I guess, or became an associate partner with the Houston Dynamo soccer team. So that was really interesting. That's a big step for us, and we're super excited to be a part of them. So if you happen to be at a game, you'll see our logo displayed on the LED screens. If you happen to be inside and you see the TVs, we're gonna be there. Also, just, you know, sometimes we're at the game, so if you happen to see us, you know, don't be afraid to say hi to us. And, you know, we hope to see you there, and we hope, you know, to invite clients and other people out there just to enjoy the game also.
Yeah, we're really big sports fans here at Sanchez Law Firm. So we have season tickets to the Astros, the Houston Astros, the Houston Dynamo, which is the male soccer team, and then the Houston Dash, which is the women's soccer team. And so from time to time, Alexis promotes those sports teams by us giving tickets away. So sometimes it'll be a flash giveaway, and it's just last moment, and you can comment to get a ticket, and sometimes it's more pre-planned and we give away tickets, but we have really good seats for all those teams, and so hopefully you'll be on the lookout to get some possible tickets.
Yeah.
And then the other big news that we have is that starting July 1st, we're actually going to be expanding into Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and we've signed for an office in Chicago, and so we already have a couple cases in Chicago, and we're really looking forward to expanding our presence outside of Texas. Illinois is just the first step. We're looking to possibly move into some other states, such as New York, possibly Washington State, and so be on the lookout, because Sanchez Law Firm is on the up and up.
Yep, you're going to see us all across the nation, and that's going to be great. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be exciting.
But we're going to occupy offices legally. We're not going to squat them.
That was good. Well, let's jump into this. Let's start off by educating everyone on what exactly is a squatter. Before I started working here, I didn't even know what a squatter was. I would leave my door unlocked because I was like, well, no one's going to come into my house, you know? And yeah, I guess the first thing people think are robbers. But now that I know what a squatter is, I'm like, oh my gosh, someone could have just come in. But yeah, elaborate on what a squatter is.
Well, now, generally, someone who comes into your home when the door's open is really a criminal trespasser. So a squatter actually is someone who goes onto a property and stays there a long time and then basically tries to assert that they have some ownership interest in the property or some right to stay in possession of the property. So we can get into the legal terms, but that's generally what a squatter is at this point.
And so when that happens, I mean, they are people. Like, what rights do squatters have when they're already in that setting?
Well, it depends on really the definition. So I want to make sure I get this right. So I want to make sure I tell everybody what the requirements are for adverse possession. So first of all, you have to have possession of that land for at least 10 years. So whether it's land or a home, you know, whatever the real property is, you have to have possession for 10 years. The various different factors or things that you need is you need to have open and hostile possession. In other words, if someone's on a property, but they have permission to be there,
okay,
then they're not a squatter. A squatter is someone who gets onto a property that is hostile to the rights of other people. So if the owner says, yeah, you can be there, or let's say that someone's died and the heirs to that owner, know that someone's living on there and says, yeah, you can stay on there, then that is not hostile, right? Because they have permission to be there. Mm-hmm. So the possession has to be hostile. It has to be exclusive. So in other words, you can't have be sharing that property with someone else. If you've got a big land and you're on one part of it, and then someone else occupies another part of it, then you're sharing the land and it's not exclusive. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be many steps here. You have to have actual possession. So you can't just from afar say, oh yeah, that's my property, right? You have to be on the property and you have to have actual possession. The possession has to be continuous. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't leave the property for 10 years, right? I've seen people go to the grocery store, they have lives, but you have to occupy and use that land continuously as your home or, you know, whatever you're going to use it for 10 years. If you go off, you know, on a month's vacation or whatever, and then you come back, you know, you may break the chain. So someone could say, hey, you've broken the chain for that. The big thing in Texas, though, that most people don't know is you have to pay property taxes. And that's the thing that most people get thrown on. So some people will say, hey, I've been on this property, you know, for 10 years or whatever, and I've, you know, never had permission. Everyone's known I've been on it because, you know, they've seen me come and go. They've seen me build a home or do additions or whatever. So it's my property. But if they never pay taxes, then they can't claim it. So in Texas, you definitely have to pay property taxes in order to gain the squatter's rights or adverse possession. So if you do meet all the other conditions, mm-hmm. but you don't pay property taxes, then in Texas, you don't have an adverse possession claim.
Okay. And so like, just so we're clear. So like, let's say, hypothetically speaking, I did leave my door unlocked, someone went, that would be like trespassing. But if I let someone stay in there and I lived in there for 10 plus years and they don't want to leave after I told them, then they would be considered like a squatter?
No, I mean, if they have permission, and they're not leaving, mm-hmm. then at that point you get into eviction, right?
Okay.
So someone who has possession of the property with authority or rights, mm-hmm. and then you want to kick them out, you want to terminate their rights, they may be a holdover, right? But under Texas law, you have to evict them. So we do a lot of eviction cases, and sometimes we've had, for example, parents who want to evict their kids because mm-hmm. they never fly from the nest, right? Or you have someone, you invite a guest to come in and stay, and they never want to leave.
Right. So then how do you deal with squatters? Like, what are remedies that people can do to get rid of these squatters, or how to handle them?
Well, you can basically do the eviction, right?
Okay.
Because they don't have any rights. Now, if you're a squatter, if you're faced with an eviction, of course, then there's the lawsuit in district court. Basically a suit to quiet title in which you claim that you have ownership based upon adverse possession. But an eviction court cannot make that determination. So an eviction court is just going to look at who the deed is under,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to say, okay, well, it appears that this person has superior rights mm-hmm. to superior possession.
Mm-hmm.
So squatter, if you want to not be evicted, this is not the court to do it in. You need to go to this other court and have a regular real estate litigation case. I mean, we do that all the time. We have people who are even like in post foreclosure evictions, and then we file a lawsuit in district court saying, hey, there was a wrongful foreclosure or whatever the case may be. But to determine the rights of the parties that in real estate in Texas, that would be a district court case that is separate from eviction. Now, sometimes the JP courts, the judges will say, well, I'll wait, or, you know, I think that this case is one where the ownership rights need to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
So they will just say, I'm not going to handle it. I'm going to throw it out and let y'all deal with it in district court. Some judges will say, look, until you get an order from another court, I see that this person has a deed, squatter doesn't, so I'm going to go with the deed, and the judges will proceed with the eviction.
So essentially, a squatter is just someone who's claiming that is like, they have like a lease there, or they actually do live there, but in reality, they don't. Like, there's someone else there.
Well, you know, in practical, they obviously live there, right?
Right.
And, in everyday life, legally, they don't have a document showing that they're right. the owner. So, and then let's just make sure, because I heard you say lease, but it's not a lease, right? It's just on the land and without any rights. Now, let's say you had someone, for example, who is leasing from someone on the land. That person ended up terminating the lease, right? And so therefore, the right to possess the property no longer exists. Mm-hmm. If that person continues to stay on the property mm-hmm. for another 10 years and that owner doesn't do anything to kick them off, right? Then the question is as well, is that hostile? And you know, I would make the argument, at least for the squatter, that, hey, you terminated my right to possession, so therefore it was hostile at that mm-hmm. point. Just because you never evicted me doesn't mean that I can't make a claim for adverse possession. But again, you have to be there 10 years and you have to pay the property taxes.
Right, right. So I'm glad that before we got into this, we talked about how you were expanding your practice to different states. So New York actually is one of the states that recently passed a law to prevent or to help minimize this squatter, what they call pandemic right now, because it's happening everywhere in the United States and people are having so much problems with it. I mean, in some stories, you know, I'm hearing that they have this property that, you know, they don't really use, you know, it's just there, but random people are going in and they can't get them to leave. So now in New York and a couple of other states, they have a law that they are now, I guess, charging these people as trespassing. So what do you think that is like the most effective way that Texas should probably create some or have like a law that is similar to that?
Well, I guess that, you know, the question is, you know, how far into your possession? So, you know, if someone has truly established a life on a property mm-hmm. and no one has done anything about it, you know, at what point, because if you have a criminal trespass charge, right, you could potentially be kicked out by the police like that.
Right.
And to uproot someone's life who's established a life on a property, you know, even in eviction cases, we have an eviction process.
Right.
And so someone has a right to, you know, confront the landlord or owner in eviction court, has a right to appeal to county court. So I don't know. I mean, I do think that you can charge someone with criminal trespass who's on your property. But at the same time, you have to balance that with someone whose life would be really altered by being kicked out just like that without any due process rights. And I would think that, you know, if I were arguing on behalf of the squatter, you know, that I'd want some due process rights in court and not just be kicked out by the police. But if someone, you know, is only there for a minimal time, right? Mm-hmm. You notice after 6 months someone's on your property or a year, but maybe they haven't established their, you know, their longevity. So it'd be easier to kick them out at that point.
Right. So you're saying, like, I guess it just depends on like what the situation and the circumstances are that you would agree, I guess you could say, with that law.
Yeah. And you know, there's some differences. You know, we do a lot of real estate litigation here at Sanchez Law Firm, and several years ago, I had this case where the parents or the remaining parent died, and the adult kids just never got around to dealing with the parents' property. Mm-hmm. And so it sat there vacant, basically. It was abandoned. No one did anything. Every so often, maybe someone would come around and just sort of drive by the property. But sometimes that was, you know, 6 months or a year or whatever. Eventually, one of the kids noticed that there had been a home built. It looked like people were living on the property. And come to find out, because they didn't really check the property too much, that someone else came in, created fake deeds to themselves, and then sold the property to an innocent person, you know, because they thought it was their property. And so we had to sue. We had to sue the people who defrauded these other people. We had to assert my client's rights over the rights of the person who bought the property through fraud. And so, you know, just in general, if you have property, you're best to maintain it and keep an eye on it and really do something about it. If you inherit property, again, you do the same thing, because whether it's adverse possession or whether it's someone coming in and doing real estate fraud, you know, you could potentially lose that property or have to pay a lot of money to keep the property.
Wow, that's interesting. So, I mean, I guess in terms of like representing, we've never actually had to, I guess, have you ever dealt with like a squatter, like in a case? I mean, I know it would be, I guess, considered like going through the eviction process, but have you ever dealt with like a situation where it is in fact like a squatter?
Yeah, we've had to deal with owners. And again, it usually happens when someone inherits a property from someone who died. And so I remember there's also another case where there was someone on the property claiming to be, you know, to have squatter rights, and the property, the owner, rather than dealing with that person, sold it to another person. Now, when they sold it, they did tell them, hey, there's this other person living on there. The person who bought it knew that there was this other person living on there claiming to be, you know, having some rights. And so that person, the new purchaser, was the one that hired our firm to deal with trying to get this squatter out. Eventually, we were able to do that, but it was expensive litigation for our client to have to do that.
How long was the process? Do you remember, like, in general?
I think it was about 2 years.
Wow.
Of, you know, district court and eviction litigation combined.
Wow. Yeah. That's intense. Okay. So, I mean, what are, I guess, what are some things that we can tell Texans or help Texans to prevent, you know, a squatter, or, you know, just kind of be aware of, you know, their surroundings or what they need to look out for when?
Well, certainly I think that if you have any rights to property, that you need to pay the property taxes.
Right.
Okay.
First things
again,
first.
That's a good catch, because even if someone's on your property, if they're not paying your property taxes, then eventually they're not going to be able to claim squatter's rights. So be aware of what property you have. Be aware if you might have any interest in inherited property. You know, sometimes people just don't know. Most of the time people do. They just, they have their own lives. You know, they came into this property and maybe they've got siblings, you know, so they're not going to get like the entire property themselves, so they don't worry about it. But if you have any ownership interest in the property, then you should pay your property taxes. The other thing is put up no trespassing signs. Make sure the property is secure. One of the things that you can also do is make sure that the land is maintained. There's, you know, you can hire a landscape company to do some mowing, right? Edging and trimming, regular upkeep of the land. That person will, you know, that company that you hire should tell you if there's someone on your property. There are people who get property in one state, but they live in another state. And you can hire a property manager. It's not too much to hire someone to manage the property, whether that person is, you know, making sure that the property is properly secured, you know, with fencing and gates, you know, it's maintained, the lawn is maintained. You know, just making sure there's no one else in there. It may cost you a little bit of money per month, but that money is well spent rather than having to deal with litigation down the line that, you know, may cost you thousands of dollars. And if you ever want to sell the property and, you know, you come up with the fact that there's someone on there, then that throws a wrench into the sale of the property, because the title company will tell you that you have to deal with this issue before they will sign off on the title and letting it pass through purchase.
Right. So I think it's also just important for people to know that there's a process and there's ways to do things. And no matter how frustrating like that situation can be, it's important that they, you know, go by what needs to happen. That way it happens effectively, right? Because I know some people, if they're upset, they may resort to like physical interaction or, you know, doing something like that. So, I mean, I think it's good that it's good to know that there's a way to do things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in Texas, we call that self-help. Texas does not really believe in self-help, right? So some people want to evict someone, you know, self-help is not turning off the utilities and kicking them out and throwing their stuff on the lawn. The same thing with someone who's declaring that they live on the property through adverse possession. Self-help is not, you know, getting a gun and threatening to shoot them if they don't, you know, remove themselves from the property.
Right.
You know? So you could be charged with criminal charges for, you know, assault and threats and all that kind of stuff if you try to use self-help. So, you know, we're big on due process rights for both the owners and the squatters. And so there's a legal way to do this that doesn't involve you going to jail because you decided that you were pissed off if someone was on your property.
Right. Well, that was a lot of really great information. I think we kind of touched a little bit of everything, of all the corners of squatters. Do you have anything else before I continue?
Yeah, let me just make sure because I wanted to see here. Now, I know in Texas, some people have thought that the amount of time is, you know, 5 years or whatever, but true adverse possession is 10 years in Texas. I think that the one of the things that people get confused on is, well, what is like open and obvious? Because you use not only has to be hostile, you know, it has to be continuous, it has to be exclusive, but it has to be open and obvious. So some things that are open and obvious are that you can be making repairs and improvements to the property, right? So you're exercising ownership over the property. You're using the address to receive mail and other deliveries, okay? So you're leaving a paper trail that this is your property. You're paying the utilities and all of the bills associated with the property. You're maintaining the land by mowing the land and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're displaying personal belongings around the property. And you're telling neighbors and community members that, you know, you live at this property. So someone who, for example, you may have this land that is really weeded up. There's lots of bushes and trees. And you're somewhere in the back of the property where no one can really see you. And you're basically hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so from the distance, from around the property, no one knows that you're on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was not going to be open and obvious, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't trick your way into adverse possession. You have to, you know, sort of like a gamble, right? You're gambling that you're going to be able to do this for 10 years, but you have to make it known that you live on the property, you're using this as your home, and the other people know it. And, you know, so therefore, after 10 years, if no one stops you, then, you know, you can make a claim for it. But if you're just hiding on the property, if let's say there's a shed and you're using that as a home, or it's a unimproved property and maybe there's, you know, a lot of trees and maybe a little lake or something on it, and you're just sort of surviving in the wilderness, but no one really knows it, then mm-hmm. that really doesn't count. So it's like you have to make that your home, make it as if anyone else would, you lived at a home that you bought and use it that way.
Wow.
So it's really important, but I really think that Texas did the right thing in terms of the property taxes, because a lot of states don't have that rule. A lot of states don't necessarily say you have to pay the property taxes. They list all the possession reasons,
mm-hmm.
but it's the property taxes, I think, that helps Texans, you know, fight the adverse possession clause,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, most people who are on property know that they're doing it illegally. And so, of course, they're not going to want to create a paper trail.
Right.
They're not going to want to pay the taxes. They're trying to get away with it. And so they're not going to pay the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone who does that for 10 years but doesn't pay the taxes is SOL.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh. Be careful, folks. No, that was really great. I'm glad that you kind of added all that to kind of, I guess, finish everything else. So, you know, I like to finish it off with a would you rather. So we're a consumer law firm, you know, so this is going to be kind of, you know, going into that. We're
These
also
are not questions that I know in advance. So we're just not scripted here.
Right. Yes. And we're also really big on education, educating the public. So, would you rather spend an entire day teaching a seminar to consumers or spend an entire day representing a consumer in a court case?
Hmm, That's tough. I've had several court cases even this week that we've won, and the thrill of a victory is always sweet. And helping our clients, helping that particular client is very sweet. But when you teach, you teach a lot of people. Hopefully, you're not just teaching to one person, and especially when you do it through some sort of webinar that lives on after that class. That stays. And I think that these days, I've been practicing for 25 years. I've represented, banks and big business and individuals and everybody in between. And so, it is the thrill of victory is sweet, but I think as I get older into my career, the more I can educate people, the better. And so, I have been thinking about potentially trying to create a consumer law course, like in a law school, and doing something like that, or maybe teaching at a community college. I'm still a lawyer first and foremost, but I really find that there's gonna be always enough business for me one-on-one because people just break the law, and that's just what they do.
Unfortunately.
But the more I can help people by educating them and hopefully, making them better consumers to avoid having to
Right.
come to me. The better I feel about that. So I think my answer to this, would you rather, would be to teach all day.
Awesome. That's good. I mean, we're really big on education. We do seminar or webinars, and we're doing them for attorneys. So, that was really, I mean, I would have been pleased with whatever answer you chose, but I was hoping you picked
Yeah, I
educating.
mean, we do a lot of education, both externally, to the public. We do CLEs to attorneys, and of course we do our own internal education. We do lunch and learns. We try to involve our team members to teach our other team members, so it's not always me teaching. I think that service and, well, let me ask you, Alexis, what are our
Service,
core
integrity, excellence, and hold on. Wait. Service, integrity, growth. I was thinking of the letters. Growth.
So, we have our core values. We have four core values. I call it GUIDES, but it's growth, integrity, service, and excellence. And so I think that when we teach, we're both growing and we're serving, right? Hopefully we do it well, so we do it with excellence, and of course we're teaching you the truth, so we're doing it with integrity. I think we've become known not just for our litigation, but we've become known to courts and judges and other attorneys for what we teach. I know we get a lot of feedback, and quite frankly, that again goes back to what you and I started last year, right? Making sure that we took our sort of haphazard way of doing webinars and making them a little more formal, and hopefully we'll keep that up. And I know that we've got lemon law and car repairs and solar panels coming up, so look out for all that.
Well, we want to thank everyone for tuning in. If you're tuning in right now, and we hope that you continue to tune in and get all this valuable information.
And until next time, guys, be well, be good, be happy. Thank you.